everybody kind of looks at this fall time, end of summertime, going into fall, a reset, and life comes back to normal again. So a fresh start. What's the fresh start for us? And so here's where we are. Last couple of weeks, we've talked about different types of fresh starts. And I wanted to chat with you today about a fresh start that that some of us may not be looking for. Because many times, life is kind of what you're looking for. If you're looking to have a bad day, you're going to find all the bad in the world. If you're looking to have a great day, you're going to find some good stuff in the midst of bad. So all of us, as we're looking at the world and looking at our lives and looking at our situations, all of us kind of are that way. And just on, kind of as a side note, you do realize, like, you don't get jealous about people that are at your level or below, right? Like, we never get jealous about somebody that has the same amount of money or less money, right? We never, like, man, I wish I could live in a smaller, dumpier house. Like, we're never that way. We're always, jealousy, like, always begins where my stuff ends, right? So our bad day is usually because I'm just focused on somebody else's junk and not mine. Now, the person that really does have more, sometimes they're just kind of like, man, I can't clean all this stuff. Like, I just got to get rid of it. So anyhow, that's just a side note. That was free. So Jacob is this guy. He was born as a twin. He was the second one out of the birth canal. He was grabbing on his brother. The Bible says he was grabbing on his brother's heel. But here's the thing. Jacob started off, they named children almost with like a preset kind of destiny in mind. Kind of like, this is what you're going to become. So the name wasn't just like, well, our last name is Wilgus. So what matches Wilgus? Like that's not what they did. You know, they actually put more thought in that. It wasn't like, well, if he's named, you know, Ronnie, then he might get called, you know, Bonnie, and I want that for my kid on the playground. You know, so that's what we do. We kind of go through like what's the least offensive name possible. And then children in your kid's class are going to come up with a way to still make fun of your kid. So none of that mattered. All that work, you tried real hard, but it didn't matter. So he was named Jacob. Now, we would all look, and today, we would say, and I hope you don't know any Jacobs. You know any Jacobs? We got a Jake in the back. Anybody? Yeah, anybody got a Jake? Got a Jake? Got a Jake? So here's the thing about Jacob. Jacob is the name. It means, here's the root word. So write this down. If you guys are really smart, you write notes, and you want to find out if I know what I'm talking about. Strong's H6117. I just gave you the Strong's concordance to find out what this root word is. Isn't that, that's a smart preacher right there. See that? Smart preacher. So, no, I don't do that stuff because I think it's dumb. But anyhow, so Strong's H6117, in case you're curious about Jacob, where it comes from. But the root word of Jacob is this. It's a calf. Everybody say a calf. A calf. Good. See, now you know. You're smart. So, a calf. And so, the root word means to supplant, circumvent, take by the heel, follow at the heel, assail insidiously, overreach. These are words that kind of go into what makes up the name Jacob. So in short, it means to overtake by fraud or deceit. So dude's like, Mom, Dad, I'm here. Awesome. We're going to name you Deceit. Wow. That was a good start. You know, thanks, Mom and Dad. So he was grabbing his brother's heel, and so the parents kind of looked at that like you're trying to trip up other people in life. And so that's what they named him. So right out of the gate, he has this picture on him, this word image, and as people talk to him, it would be like you introduced, hi, I'm Tali, you are Deceit. Hi, I'm Deceit. There's a popular Christian song right now. It's Hello, My Name Is. And it kind of is a similar vibe. It's like, hello, my name is, I'm terrible and whatever. So that's what he would have to introduce himself all the time is, hi, you're Tali and I'm Deceit, or I'm deceitful. Like that. So he started off that way. The same word is used in a bunch of places, but it's used in Jeremiah 17:9. A heart is deceitful above all things, same root word there, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? In Jeremiah 9:4, it says, let everyone beware of his neighbor. This is a crazy verse. And put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver, and every neighbor goes about as slander. Like, wow. Like, that's optimistic. So we look, and that's the same root word as Jacob's name. So he's walking out, and he's starting off with a bad name, and people refer to him that way, and they treat him that way. And don't you know that how you are perceived is how you are received? You know that? If you let people perceive you as somebody that they can just take advantage of, then they will. People will. How you are perceived is how you will be received. If you are perceived as being a jerk to people, people are going to receive you. Oh, here comes the jerk. So if you are perceived as being kind, people will receive you that way. So in general, how you are perceived in life is how you're received. And so Jacob was perceived from the beginning in his relationships all through childhood as being a deceitful person. So he's starting off with kind of a grudge, you know, like, man, everywhere I go, people seem to treat me wrong. Nobody in here can relate to that, I understand. So we start off and people are just treating him wrong. You might even say that that he was born this way. That he didn't have any control about it, he was just born this way. I'm born this way. And so most of us, we would say, well, that's too bad. I got an attitude, I was born that way. You know, and we flippantly dismiss it, and it is what it is, and I am who I am, leave me alone. Well, so that's where Jacob kind of got his life started. Well, then in Genesis 27, you don't have to turn there unless you want to, but in Genesis 27, Jacob's father was dying, and there was a tradition of passing off the family blessing to the firstborn. And so Jacob grabbed, Jacob's dad, Isaac, grabbed Esau and said, hey, I'm going to bless you. But at this point, he was kind of blind. He was on his deathbed. It was about over. And he said, listen, I'm about to do the family blessing. I'm going to pass the torch down. You're going to get the deal. You're going to get the inheritance. But can you go get me some food? Like, when we do it, I'm kind of hungry. Show me one more act of service. Can you go make me some of my favorite meal? And but here's the problem. Like, Jacob's mom really wanted Jacob to have the blessing. So Jacob's mom got in, and she was like, hey, how about we scheme your dad? You know, that's real great. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like your everyday soap opera on channel 13. So hey, how about we scheme your dad? So Jacob goes in, and essentially he dresses up and all this stuff, and he gives his dad food, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm the right one. Well, he gets the blessing. He receives the blessing of the father. Now in that time, it was done. Even though it was a bad deal, it was done. It's kind of like you bought a car that was a lemon. It's done. The deal's over. It's kind of done. And so at this point, Esau was basically like, Jacob, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I will kill you. Esau's like turned mafia. He was like, I used to be a nice guy, but off with your head. You know, like, you're done. Like, if we go riding in a car and I sit in the back seat and you hear click, click, like, that's probably a bad day for you, Jacob, you know? So he's just kind of like, we're gonna take this out mafia style, whatever it takes, off with your head, Scarface. So that's kind of his approach to thing. I had some coffee this morning, sorry. So he's approaching this whole situation like, man, my brother is out to kill me. And so Jacob does what any kind of sane person does. When your brother says he's going to go ahead and kill you, Jacob leaves. Jacob split town. And he was like, hey, uncle! And he went and hang out with his uncle, and he started living at his uncle's house. So he's like, hey, man, how's home life? Oh, everything's great, uncle. I love you so much. Remember you from childhood. Want to come hang out? So he moved to his uncle's house in a different city, lived there, got married a few times, which is a whole different thing, but got married. And so now what we pick up the story in Genesis 32 is he's traveling. Everything died down. Like, in the city, you might say the streets are hot. You know, like, when the streets are hot, you don't want to be out there. You know what I mean? Like, something's going down. Somebody's about to blow some caps off. And so you got to lay low. You know, the streets are hot. So he's trying to go back. You guys, you white people love this culture stuff every week, don't you? You're just always like, man, I can learn the Bible and I can learn urban vernacular. Like, it's great. So anyhow, the streets were hot. And so he decided, okay, streets are cooling down. I'm going to go back. I think everything's cool. So he's headed back, and we pick him up in Genesis chapter 32. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to grab Genesis 32, stand. We're going to read the whole thing. And then that way we can go back and you can see where I was when I made different points along the way. Genesis 32, we stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. Verse 22 is where we'll start. The same night he arose and he took his two wives. I told you, he got married twice, don't ask me about it. His two female servants and his 11 children. That was a headache. And crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream. So he's like grabbing his family. He's like, hey, y'all go ahead. And everything else that he had. So he said, take my possessions, take everything. And the Bible says in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. So here he is. He's got his family, and he gets to the stream, and he's like, hey, how about you guys just go ahead of me? I kind of want some downtime. I want some thinking time. I want some time to me. I mean, you got two wives, two lady servants, and 11 children. Like, you want some downtime. You know what I mean? Men? All right. So anyway, ladies are just like, go ahead. You better keep moving. So he's by himself, he sends his whole family and everything ahead, and he just gets some downtime. So in verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him Now, where this guy came from, we don't know. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he didn't prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." Like, it's over. Fight's done. But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Like, that's real nice. Like, I'm going to hold you down until you give me blessing. So it was a stick up. So, and he said to him, "What is your name?" And Jacob said, "Jacob." Now remember, his name meant deceiver. So what he said was, he didn't say, he wasn't kind of like, "Hey, who are you? I just randomly jumped the dude in the hallway. Who are you?" He was saying, "Okay, you want me to bless you? What's your name?" "My name is Deceit. That's who I am." "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob." You shouldn't be called Deceit, but Israel. "For you have striven with God and with men and had prevailed." And Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. He said, "Don't worry about what my name is. I'm going to give you the blessing." So Jacob called for the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Father, I pray that you would speak through your word, teach us the principles that are found here. And God, most importantly, more than anything else, we just don't want to be Bible scholars. What we want to be is great followers of you. So help us to not be scholars, but to be followers. Help us to understand you well, love you well, and love the world in response. And Father, would you teach us today the principles we need in our lives, in our stories, to move forward right from where we are. Father, there's not one sermon today. There are many, many, many sermons all across this building. So Father, I pray that you would deliver all of those all at once. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. So here we have this Jacob. He's walking along, and it says that Jacob was left alone. So here he is. He's alone now. His family's gone. Now the verse is, sometimes when you read the Bible, you don't understand. Like, you gotta see what's going on and understand. There's a lot more gaps in what happens than what we're reading. We're kind of just reading kind of a story. If somebody were to read your story, you wouldn't have like every single detail. Like, here's what I ate for lunch. Here's what I went to the restroom. We don't have restroom breaks in the Bible, but we're pretty sure that they did. So there's gaps in kind of what happens. So he's left alone. And then all of a sudden, the very next sentence is somebody jumps him. Now, in your life and in mine, if I'm on edge about this negative thing that's about to happen, my finances are about to collapse, the business is going to go under, I'm going to get fired, I'm going to, whatever, my relationship is going to end. When we're on edge like that, and then something else happens to us, this thing jars us, it jars our attention, it gets us. Normally, what we don't do is stop and say, "Thank you, Jesus." Because we're on edge. We're worried about the next thing. And so something surprises us. And in the midst of the surprise, we don't say, "Oh God, thanks for showing up. I love it." No. What we do is we do what anybody do. We panic. We freak out. We go crazy. So here he is. Somebody jumps the dude. Who do you think he thought it was? His brother that said, "I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what goes down. I'm going to watch you one day. Watch your back. There's going to be a day." So he sends his family. He's getting some time alone. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and so now he's thrown down and he's in the middle of this battle. And in the middle of the battle, you're not worried about what's going on. You're not worried about where is God in this and where is this enemy. You're just saying, "I want to protect myself. I'm going to do everything I can to protect myself, take care of myself, and get out of this thing." And so somewhere, though, during this battle, he stopped. He during the battle, when somebody jumps you, your main reaction is to get away. So initially, he's trying to wrestle to get away. We know later that the story is Jacob wrestled with God, but we know later because of Hosea that it was an angel. So he was wrestling with an angel. So we know that, but when you look at the story in the middle of it, he's just like, "Man, some guy." He's not thinking about angels or God or anything. He's just like, some guy is on me and I've got to do something to get away. But then as they wrestle, he starts to kind of get confident. And he starts to feel like that he can do something. So he begins to wrestle, not to run, but to stay. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he didn't prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." He's like, "Hey, it's over. My bad. Picked the wrong fight." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Write this down. Your greatest battles are often with the blesser. Your greatest battles in life are often with the blesser. Your greatest struggles, your greatest battles aren't with, oh man, Satan beat me. Because you know why? Most of us, when the enemy comes up and he sweet talks us and the enemy gives us what we want and the enemy says, oh yeah, just go live your life, do what you want, make that terrible decision. Most of the time, we don't say, oh, put him up, Satan. Most of the time, we give in. Most of our greatest battles aren't even with the enemy. We'd love to say that, right? Like in church, we'd love to say, oh yeah, your greatest battles are always going to be, we'd say, you're going to fight sin. And it's like, yeah, I know I should. I know we should. I know that really should be where my greatest sweat, my greatest striving, my greatest strength. I know. But let's face it, my greatest battle, the greatest fight I usually put up is with the God that wants to bless me to begin with. And so he thought it was Esau. Because guess what? In the immediate, the feeling that he got, it wasn't a pleasant feeling. It wasn't a pleasant feeling. But because it wasn't a pleasant feeling, he associated a negative feeling in his life with the enemy. But we have this belief, this theology that says, if I have a negative feeling in my life, then automatically I'm going to attribute it to the enemy, the Esau in my life. But I'm not going to believe ever that there's a time that God, I'm so thick-headed, I'm so stubborn in myself, I'm so all about me, that I don't think when a negative happens right away, God, are you in it? And so I fight the blesser who wants to change my heart. I fight him as though he's the enemy. But it's not the enemy. It's God that's trying to get a hold of me. But I like to create everything in my life as the enemy, because then whatever I'm going through, I can tell everybody I'm the victor in all my stories. I'm always the winner. I'm always David when I read David and Goliath. And that's garbage. You are usually the chicken that was peeing his pants on the side of the road saying, oh, would somebody come beat up Goliath? Because there were a lot more chickens on the side of the road watching this fight than there were people in the fight. And most of us, we like to make ourselves the protagonist in everything that's going wrong with our life. I was right. She was wrong. I was right. Her attitude was bad. I was right. You should have heard the way they gossiped about me. And it's very rare to see somebody stop up right as soon as something bad happens. Well, kind of deserved it. I remember one time I was playing basketball, and I was always a young kid with all the guys I ran with. But I just kept fouling this guy that's come through the hole. And the truth is that he just kept beating me. He had a quicker first step, and he would start to get around me. And so I'd hack the heck out of this guy. Well, the problem is the guy was shorter than me, but the guy was like 5 years older than me. He was like he was like 20 and I was like 15. And so I was just like, oh, I'm bigger than him. I'm just going to hack him every time he goes to the hole. Well, he kind of got tired of it. You know what I mean? Like he's 20. He's like, give me a break. But he kind of got tired of it. And so eventually I hacked him. He fell to the ground and I stood over him like, you know, Dikembe Mutombo or something. And he looked and he was like, you do that again. And I was like, I'll do it again. I don't care. I'm tally. And so he came down, and the next time I didn't care about the ball, I didn't care about basketball, I didn't care about the game. I was just like, he challenged me to do it again, I'm going to do it again. So he came down, and I went, oh, boom, you know, and I'm standing there, I'm like, what? I don't even know what happened. All I know is I went like this. And I'm stumbling. And then I grab a hold, and he's talking, rah, 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 he's barking. And I was like, I deserve that. That's what I told him. I was just like, I deserved it. And so we went ahead and we finished up and played basketball, and I didn't hack the guy anymore. But most of us, when the bad thing happens, it's hard for us to say, I deserve that. God, that's on me. God, my finances are where they are because I deserve it. God, that person, they're mad at me. I deserve it. So what most of our greatest battles are with the one that brings us the blessing. God's trying to do something in us, change us, but most of the time we don't react that way. So God's trying to change Jacob, but he didn't even know it. He didn't even care. He just wanted to fight back. And many of us, we want to fight back so fast that we don't take time to discover, God, are you trying to use this to change me in some way? So your greatest battles are often with the blesser. Verse 27, and he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. So let me ask you this question. What is your name? What is your name? Like, you want a fresh start. You want life to be new. You want things to be different than they are today. But the angel had to go and bring up, he said, hey, I want blessing. What he didn't say was, hey, God, how about you give me a lesson? He didn't say lesson. He said blessing. So he said, hey, I want you to give me a blessing. And the biggest blessing that God could ever give you is to look at you and say, whatever your name is right now, it doesn't have to be that name with me. You think that your whole life, you are called deceit. I will rename you. You give me your life, I will rename you. I will make you new. I will not make you different or better or the new version or next year's generation model. I will make you new. The Bible says that he will take all things and make them new. He will take every creature who lines up and says, Jesus, you're Lord. I tried being God in my life, but I'm not God. I even tried to be smart enough to say there is no God. But then I realized that matter can't come from non-matter, and that's kind of silly. So everything I built my life on is that I built up believing. It's based on faith. And then I can look and say, God, how you did it, and how you did it was through this chain and that chain and that chain. But I can't say at the beginning for sure that matter came from non-matter. I don't care how far back I go. So, God, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to say, you know what? At the end of the day, you're really smart, and I'm kind of, I got a 3.5-pound brain. So I'm going to slow down, and I don't use 10% of it. So I've got like 3 ounces worth of material that I'm fighting God with, and I think I'm going to win. And so I say, hey, you know what? I get worked up sometimes. So how about I say this, God? I will give you my life, and I will believe something. I will have a little faith that when I gave you my brokenness, when I gave you my tried to, want to, could to, but couldn't, you will take that and rework it and make me new. And so, God, I know when you look at me, I know you don't see a Jacob. I know I see a Jacob every time I meet somebody or talk to somebody. I'm polite and I'm smiling and I try to dress nice and I try and I work real hard and I'm real cute around the office. But at the end of the day, I know in my heart I'm still a Jacob. And that always affects everything that I encounter. And I even look at you, God, and I say, God, but why would you want me? I'm just a Jacob. And he says, I'm not trying to give you a lesson here. But if you'll let me give you a blessing here, what I want to do is tell you your name is not Jacob. Your name is a child of me. I'm going to name you Israel. You're my children. You're my people. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come along and I'm going to grab you and I'm going to reform you, remake you, I'm going to make you new, and I'm going to send you out into the world. And when the world sees you, they're not going to see a deceit anymore. They're going to see a child of me. And so then you're going to look and they're going to say, hey, man, what's going on? Like, what happened to you? What happened to your heart? What happened to your mind? What happened to the way you think and the way you do and the way you talk and the way you treat people? What happened to all that? Well, what happened is I used to see myself as a Jacob. And God grabbed me and he made me new. And I'm an Israel. And I'm going to tell you what, Israel, I don't always make perfect decisions. I don't always do everything right. But one thing I can be assured of every day is that when I honor God in my life, he will bless, because I asked him to bless me. And he told me my name is not Jacob. My name is Israel. So what is your name, church? How do you see yourself? You got to be able to see yourself the way that God says that he sees you, as a broken down, busted up sinner who gave their life to him and he made it all new again. And then you start off every day and you say, the only way I keep this newness is not that I'm all hot. I keep this newness by saying, God, I'm about to make a decision. What do you want out of my life? I'm about to do this. What do you want out of my life? I'm in this relationship. What do you want out of my life? I'm about to buy this house. What do you want out of it? And so each time I say, God, I'm Israel, not Jacob. Jacob would have been a deceiver. Jacob would have tried to work his own magic. Jacob would have tried to trip other people up to advance. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, God, what do you want out of me? What do you want out of me? What do you want out of me? And when I honor that, I retain my name Israel. I don't live like I used to be Jacob. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. Why is it you ask my name? So the angel's kind of like, just stop it. And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for saying, I have came face to face with God, yet my life has been delivered. There are people in this room today that you've never come face to face with God. And part of the reason you haven't come face to face with God is, one, you're not even sure if there is a God. That's fine. That's cool. That's okay. Everybody in this room has been there. Everybody's been in the place where they're just like, I doubt it. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's whatever. And we got real smart people. We got educated people, masters and doctorate level people in the room. So being a Christian is not being stupid. So that's fine. But then there are some of us, we've met him, but we wrestle and fight. And it's always us versus him. And it doesn't have to be, because he's king. When you're king, you don't fight kings. You don't fight the king. So when he's king of your life, you say, hey, I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to ask what you want. I'm your subject. I'm in your kingdom. But here's a tough question for us. Would you take a new life if it comes with a new limp? Would you take a new life if it came with a new limp? See, because for the first two-thirds of the message, we're all just like, oh, yeah, I'm not Jacob. I'm Israel. But he was Jacob, and he could do the waltz. He could be on Dancing with the Stars as Jacob. But as Israel, he's blessed by God. But the exchange was a new limp. He had to admit that he was a deceitful person. He had to admit that his old ways wasn't God's ways. He had to admit that he was a little more humble today than he was yesterday. So we will champion and God and blah, 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 and we'll sing. And somebody who's not even a Christian in this room looks at all of you and goes, that's easy. Let your mom die of cancer. Let something happen tragic. Go ahead and dance and sing that. So church, I've got to ask, will you take a new life from God if it means that he brings you a new limp? And if you've lived long enough in this room, and there are some of you that are, and you understand, I can see in your eyes, you know exactly what I'm talking about, that you've lived long enough to know that the only way I grew in my faith was I picked up a new limp. I had to have something knocked off. I had to relinquish something. I had to let a little pride go. I had to let a little arrogance. I had to let a little bit of cockiness go. I had to let something go in order to get the blessing. And so I was fighting with the blesser, and I asked for a blessing, and he gave me a lesson, but the lesson was the blessing. And then I go and I say, God, I really want it. But he looks and he says, be careful what you wish for, because when you wish for something new from me, it might also come with a new limp. So would you take a new life if it means you get a new limp? We all have to get there. I don't know what you're going through. I really don't. I'd be lying if I say I know every single story in the room. But what I'll tell you is this. Maybe, just maybe, God wants to change you today. And I don't just mean the person that doesn't know God. I'm talking about the people that do, or you claim you do, or you come to church. Maybe God wants to change you today. But are you in a place where you say, God, just like Jacob, if you will bless my life, I'll take whatever limp it means. If it means I've got to let that relationship go, if it means that I can't have that special someone, if it means that I've got to be more generous, which means there's less for me in my plate, whatever it means, God, if you'll bless me, if you'll change me, if I can look in the mirror and know that I'm no longer deceit, I'm no longer lying when I go to church, that I'm the real deal, if I can do that every day when I wake up, what a blessing that would be. To say, God, I'm pure in the mirror. When I look in the mirror, I'm pure. I'm right before you. I'm confident to say it. I'm not cocky. I just know that everything that's revealed to me, when I know there's a decision in my life, I follow you. Point blank, period, it's over. I follow you. And so I can feel confident, not that I'm doing every single, I'm not perfect, but I can be confident that before you, I am pure. I'm clean. I'm no longer deceit. So God, if you will bless me, and by blessing, I don't mean just make me better. Make me feel better. I mean make me better. I mean make the inside. I mean change the heart. I mean do the hard stuff that the Holy Spirit can do, but I can't do. God, if you'll do that work in me, I'll take the limp. I'll take the sickness. I'll take the brokenness. I'll take the physical calamity. I'll take whatever it is that you have to apply to me to change me. That is a very hard prayer request, but I'll tell you what, it's one of the most spiritually mature prayer requests you'll ever make in your life. Because there's this kind of surface-level Christianity where it's kind of like, give me the fire insurance, I'm barely glad to get in. Like, I just don't want to go to hell, that's the only reason I'm, you know, people scared me enough, so sure, Jesus, your Lord, let's do it, you know. There's kind of that level that's kind of superfluous and people hate it, the world hates it. But then there's kind of a level that starts to say, no, you're God, you love me, you're my daddy, you know better. And so, then there's this level that says, God, even if you have to strike me, if it'll make me more like the image of Jesus for this world to see, if it'll help your kingdom out, if the world will see your heaven through my life, I'll take the limp with a new life. I'm willing to take the limp if it means you'll give me a new life.